think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hi, this is Jamie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to the show, and we're going to have a really interesting topic of conversation today, because something that I have been interested in for ever and a day is our relationship with food. And in this particular conversation, we're not going to necessarily dig deep into exactly what we should eat, exactly when we should eat, you know, the right, in inverted commas, diet, but more of a generic look at our relationship with food. And, you know, I think there probably won't be many people listening to this who haven't at one point or another had some kind of challenges around their relationship with food, you know, to one extent or another. So I think it's something that affects so many people, and it's such a massive issue. And of course, most of the advice that we're given, you know, sort of conventional wisdom is conflicting, totally conflicting. You may have heard the interview that I did with Dominique Ludwig, a nutritionist who is really trying to unravel all the different, in inverted commas, diets and come to a place where we can actually just eat nurturing, nourishing foods that are really, really good for us. But I'm really thrilled that my guest today is Jules Francis, who has done a huge amount of work around the mind-body connection, around our mindset when it comes to food. Now, just before we get into this interview, I just want to just in case you were to listen to it and then not finish or something, I just want to just sort of preempt this interview by saying that, you know, if you are someone who's in the early stages of stopping drinking, I can't stress enough that it's super important to eat well. And as one of my guests many years ago, who wrote a book called The Mood Cure, as she said a few years ago, in a way, this isn't even your choice, in inverted commas, it's a medicinal diet. Now, that sounds really scary, and it sounds like you're going to have to eat things you don't want. The opposite is true. What we really mean by that is, if you're in the first 4 weeks of stopping drinking, your brain chemistry is going to be totally out of whack, and you need to put back good nutrients. You need to give yourself a fighting chance of getting the, you know, some of the dopamine back and the serotonin. And the best way to do that is through really excellent, good, proper food, proper nutrition, preferably three meals a day, real food. Obviously, no artificial sweeteners, no diet drinks or anything like that. You need proper, real, nutrient-dense food. And you may want to accept that, yes, you might have an issue with sugar. We'll talk about more about that later. But there are things you can do to make some swaps to alleviate that a little bit. But the main focus in the first few weeks of stopping drinking is not to be agonizing at all, but to be having really good nutrient dense food for those few weeks. So I just wanted to say that first, because it can get very confusing. And as we say in this interview with Jules, so many people, when they decide to stop drinking, you know, they do get this massive sugar head on, and then they get the idea, oh, maybe I'll lose a few pounds as well if I'm not drinking. So then it becomes a very confusing battle focused on deprivation. And the absolute key, of course, is to focus only on what you're gaining, which is why I'll never let anyone use the phrase giving up, because there's nothing to give up. There's everything to gain. Don't forget, if you want support with any of this stuff, then come and join us in the Sober Club. We have so much in our member portal around nutrition and well-being. And meanwhile, I really hope you enjoy this excellent chat, Jules. So we are talking nutrition, and it really is one of those topics that we can never get enough of with the work that I do. And particularly fascinating today to be discussing how people look at their bodies, how they think of their bodies, people who have challenging relationships with food. And of course, that's something that I think many of us are really aware of, whether that's for ourselves or those around us. So really pleased to introduce you to Jules Francis, who worked in private practice in a GP surgery for years and is the co-author of two best-selling books. So welcome, Jules. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your background then, and what led you to doing the work that you do.
So my background is an interesting one, because sometimes people come from an angle of they've had their own personal challenges with food, and then they go into this because they've resolved it for themselves and then they want to help others. My journey was the complete opposite. So I have always had a very natural journey towards health, well-being, listening to my body, feeding it what it needs. And I've always been actually very fascinated with why others don't do that. So it's sort of like, you know, growing up without drinking alcohol or caffeine or smoking or anything like that, and people around me doing all the opposites, I was wondering, why would they do that? Because then the next day they're completely suffering, or they're even suffering at the time. So I've always had a very healthy outlook on the mind and the body connection. I had my own personal struggle with eczema, and that led me down a road of what's going on here, what's my body trying to tell me. So I never really saw it as a problem. I saw it as a curiosity, like, how can I resolve this? Because a lot of the doctors were telling me, there's no cure for eczema, you should give up your job. At the time, I was a makeup artist, and having hand eczema while you've got your hands in makeup and, you know, a lot of other products, not a good job. So I really needed to resolve this for myself quickly. And so I went down a big discovery of all types of complementary and alternative treatments. And I resolved it for myself. But what actually was the empowering piece was not food, and it wasn't, you know, atmosphere and all this, that it was my mindset. So it was the way that I thought about it. And it was resolving why I had it in the first place. And that fascinated me. So then I kind of combined my interest in health and well-being with the mindset to be able to help others. And my interest in food has just always been I just think food's fantastic. And people that have a disordered eating with food or challenges with food, I decided that was my area of speciality, because so many people sadly struggle with this very critical part of life, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I suppose it's not helped, is it, by the way, you know, the media sort of expects us to look a certain way, and to, you know, and also, I mean, I suppose I know we're not really necessarily just talking about nutrition in terms of what's available, but the fact that in more recent years, so much of the food that we eat isn't really even food. none of that really helps, does it?
It really doesn't help. And it really confuses people. And so many clients come to me saying, I have no idea who to listen to, because some people recommend this, others recommend that. And you know, plant-based or vegan, or you need to eat meat. Or if you don't eat meat, you're going to, you know, your blood's not going to be good. And if you don't have dairy, you're not going to have good bones. And it's all of these conflicting messages make it very, very difficult for people to know what they should eat. And my answer to that is, there is not one answer. You know, every single one of us is a different age, is a different gender, has had different, you know, experiences in our lives, whether we've given birth, whether we've had operations, whether we're an Olympic athlete. You know, we're all going to need to nourish our bodies differently to the next person. So there isn't just one right way. It is really, what is the right way for you? And then that might change throughout your life.
Yeah, And that's difficult to determine, isn't it? You know, with all the mixed messages out there, that can be very difficult, and particularly when we get into very bad habits. So, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of people listening thinking, look, let's cut to the chase. What do I do about the fact that, you know, perhaps people listening to this stop drinking alcohol, that they're proud of themselves, they've managed to do that, and then seemingly gone headlong into the next addiction, you know, which is sugar often. And perhaps they've been someone who you know, had sugar before, but they've stopped drinking alcohol and suddenly literally got a sugar head on and can't think of anything else. Mm-hmm. So let's start there, because I dare say you've come across that kind of thing before.
I come across that a lot. What angle would you like me to start with?
Whatever you like.
It's such a wide subject, you know, but you're absolutely right. When people have one addiction to something and they stop that, it can be a bit of a domino. Where am I going to go now? Where am I going to, you know, lean on next? The reason people do that, in my opinion, is because the root of why they did it in the first place has not been resolved.
Yeah, because so it never really was about wanting alcohol.
It was never about the alcohol. It's never about the sugar. It's never about the food. It's always about something internal that could be, I don't feel loved, you know, or I didn't get enough attention, or, you know, I have low self-esteem because I grew up with a mum who was working full time and I don't have any confidence, whatever it is, right? Mm. This is the root. And then people find these short-term substitutes, but they're not substituting something that they're going to find in alcohol or find in sugar. They're substituting something much bigger than that, that they're not going to find in any of that. And the reason people domino from one to another is because they haven't established what the root is and then healed the root. And that's very much the journey I take my clients on, is getting to the root and then healing that, so that they don't actually have a need to find a short-term fix. They are very satisfied with their choices then.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. What how would you recommend that somebody who is, you know, in these early stages, and it's almost a fight or flight thing, is it's that craving, you know, I just have to have this. Mm-hmm. How would you recommend that they start? You know, obviously some people will be able to come and see you, but in that moment, what can someone do?
So I think that's a really good question, and the most immediate thing that somebody can do is acknowledge that that's what they're doing. So first of all, acknowledge, oh, I've got this chaos in my head that says I need this. Okay, so that's an acknowledgement. And then simply take 5 seconds. And within that 5 seconds, just say to yourself, I'm going to take a step back, or I'm going to drink a glass of water, or I'm going to walk in the opposite direction, or I'm going to jump up and down, or I'm going to put some music on. You take 5 seconds to do something incredibly different, which kind of breaks the state.
Yeah.
Because the state is the thing that you're looking to achieve. It could be a state of calm. So you think that by having that glass of whatever or that big donut is going to create a state that you enjoy. And so the state that you're in before you want to enjoy it is a state that you can also change. And simply breathing, pausing, walking, water, calling someone.
Yeah,
jumping up and down is a state breaker.
Yeah, absolutely. The kind of you know, the idea of dropping into the body is something I recommend a lot, because I think you know, so often when you're trying to make some kind of behavior change, you do so much in your head, don't you? You know, I'm going to try to meditate, I'm going to journal, I'm going to think about, and all of those things are great. But sometimes in the moment where you've just really got that fight, flight, whatever it is, you know, I need a drink, I need the sugar. Actually, if you just drop into the body and shake it out or dance or whatever, it allows that kind of mind-body connection to work well, doesn't it, really?
Exactly. And movement is wonderful for that. You know, just literally having a really quick playlist available to just press play, and just music that uplifts you straight away, you're in a different state, is very positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So I'm interested in the fact that you worked in a private practice in a GP surgery, because of course, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot within the Sober Club is the fact that many GPs are not, you know, sadly, with the best will in the world, they are not clued in on the holistic approach. They certainly don't you know, sort of make the link between root causes, you know, potentially childhood trauma or generational trauma, and what might be going on with you right now. It's most unusual. They, you know, so I mean, look, well, let's just take a step back from that and say, to the best of your knowledge, if someone were to rock up to a conventional GP now and present with the issue of having a really challenging relationship with food, what typically would be the help or support that would be offered, if any?
So sadly, the support would be go and see a nutritionist or go and see a dietitian. And what happens then is there's nothing wrong with dietitians and nutritionists, but what happens is they're missing the point of why this person has a challenging relationship in the first place. Then that patient would go down the route of cut this out, include more of this, and they don't do it. And they're given these plans, they're given these programs to follow. They don't do it because the reason why they've got a challenge in the first place is still there.
Exactly. And also because our unconscious mind doesn't like to feel deprived. You know, we don't like that, do we? We don't like that. Like, oh, great. So the one thing I enjoyed in my life was a goddamn whatever it was. And I'm not meant to have that now.
Exactly. They're being told to deny themselves and deprive themselves. And that's not the answer. And that can go on forever. And what can happen then is they feel worse about themselves because they feel like they've failed, let themselves down. They've got no willpower. The thing is, without sorting the foundation bit out first, which is kind of where I come into it, these roots are simply a waste of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
At that stage, there is always a great stage to follow a particular journey, but not until you've sorted out the root.
Yeah. And so when you were working with the private practice then, how would you work with patients? I mean, I'm guessing you wouldn't necessarily have the luxury of being able to do, you know, weeks of sessions, or would you? I suppose what I'm getting at is how quickly can we make a difference?
I definitely had the luxury of taking people on for weeks and months.
Did you?
I believe that I'm not going to start something if I can't allow someone to finish it. So, you know, if I thought that someone was looking for a quick fix, I'm not the right person for them at all, because it takes time. You know, sometimes people come and see me with years, decades of these challenges, and it's not resolved in a week.
Yeah.
It's not resolved in a month. And so you have to be realistic about the journey that you might intend to go on if you see somebody like me, because I don't leave a stone unturned, you know, because I'm looking for long-term results for my clients. So when a doctor refers them to me, they know that we're going on a journey. Are you ready for a journey? And if they're not ready for a journey, I'm not the right person. And so sometimes I would work with someone for 3 months, 6 months, a year, and they don't come back because they're able to then be empowered enough to make choices for themselves that are powerful ones and healthy ones.
Yeah, it is incredible, isn't it? You must have seen some amazing, you know, you must have some amazing sort of success stories up your sleeve of people who have had transformations.
Yeah, it's the most rewarding thing in the world.
Yeah. I mean, with the work that I do around family constellations, you and I obviously both do Matrix, and with family constellations, I think one of the most fascinating constellations that I did, and I'm sure I've talked about it before, but I wasn't practicing. I was just there as a participant, and it was a woman whose issue was that she was binge eating, mm-hmm. and she was very unhappy, with her with the way she looked. And it was really fascinating because the constellation showed that her ancestors had been in a famine, and it was just the most unbelievable. Yeah. Heartbreaking kind of image that we saw there, really incredible. But for her to see that, and there's literally this light bulb moment that I'm trying to eat for them, right? On a completely unconscious level, that's cellular memory literally going on there.
Completely.
Yeah, really powerful.
It is so powerful. And how are they going to find that by going to a nutritionist?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly that.
Exactly that. Cut out wheat.
Yeah, exactly that. And also what this sort of sums up and explains beautifully is why diets, inverted commas, so often don't work at all. None of them. And because again, I have a friend who was extremely overweight for many, many years, and I used to think to myself, I just don't understand it. She certainly doesn't eat more than I eat, and she eats very healthily, and I just couldn't get my head around. It didn't fit any of the patterns of what you're meant to do. I mean, if she'd rocked up anywhere, there wouldn't have been anything they could have told her to cut out, because she was about as healthy as it's possible to be of what we think of on paper. But actually, when she was able to do a bit of work, again, a very similar, unbelievably traumatic scenario from her childhood.
Yeah.
Where she wasn't allowed to have food.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So my God, you can see, can't you, that, anyone can realize this is not about, when people say all it is calories in, calories out, whatever the expression is. Mm-hmm. No, it isn't.
No, in fact, it's not about that at all. Because if, some people, like you say, have an incredibly healthy diet in terms of what the calories are that are going in, but their outlook, their mentality, their lack of whatever it is, or the trauma, or anything even more beyond than that, it plays such a big part that it's got nothing to do with calories. And when you bring numbers into food, when you start weighing things and weighing yourself, you're taking out so much pleasure.
It
becomes like a maths thing. And that's just not what food's about. Even that just is unnecessary.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think that people, what's the kind of emotion that's most often going on, do you think, when people reach for comfort food or whatever? I suppose it's all there in the word, isn't it, really? It all goes back to us being 5 years old, falling over and being given a biscuit, What would you say are the main emotions that drive us to reach for stuff we don't need?
So I would say that, having worked with quite a few people on emotional eating and what drives them, there is a bit of a common five. I would say there's a common five. Frustration is one of them. When people are frustrated, they often think they find the answer in food.
Yeah.
And that's a really common one. Loneliness is a big one. I would say loneliness goes hand in hand with needing comfort, because sometimes you don't really need comfort if you're frustrated, but if you're lonely, you often feel like you need comforting somehow. Anger is a big one. So anger, people don't like to feel, because it doesn't feel very nice. And so, I would always encourage people to feel their anger and get in touch with their anger and make friends with their anger and then let it go. But many people don't. They'll keep hold of it, and so they turn to food because they don't want to feel it, so they kind of squash it down. Boredom is the next one. So boredom, people just really are not in touch with what they need often. And boredom, if there's food around, it's a really quick thing to deal with that. And the last one would be sadness. So sadness is something that, again, people don't like to feel, even though the best thing to do is sit there and do nothing and actually just go through that. People tend to eat to squash that down. And in order to remember these, it spells out the word flabs, F-L-A-B-S. And, you know, what I encourage people to do, if they recognize any of these emotions in their patterns, is write the word flabs on your fridge or on your food cupboard or on your whatever it is that you consume, and check in with yourself before you're about to reach it. You know, am I feeling any of these emotions? Am I frustrated right now? Am I bored right now? And then it just gives that second that we spoke about before, where you can just question before you take action that you might regret later. You just go, oh, I'm bored. Oh, okay. So I'm not really hungry. So therefore I could call a friend, or I could go take the dog for a walk, or I could put some music on.
So important, isn't it? We're so not in touch with our emotions.
Yeah.
You know, I say this all the time with people who, you know, who are drinking. It's not the drink they want. They need something else. They're wanting something else, but we're just not in touch with our emotions, and we're not very emotionally intelligent because we've literally been numbing out all this stuff, haven't we? If for so many years the way we've dealt with our, you know, any of these frustration, loneliness, anger, any of them, is just through reaching for a drink or for grabbing the chocolate or the biscuit or whatever it is for you. Or I suppose, you know, on the kind of flip side, it's people who restrict their eating. So they're, you know, that's another kind of layer, isn't it? Does that fit the same pattern, people who have disordered eating in that way?
Slightly different. So restriction is very much about deprivation, deserving. I don't deserve this. That kind of thing. It slightly fits a different pattern, but there's a whole Pandora's box that comes with that as well. So when people feel the need to not have this because they, you know, or have too much of it and then they can't cut it out, there is this common thing between rewards, deserving, deprivation, self-love, lack of self-love, that sort of thing. And that can go back again generations.
Absolutely.
I wrote something recently for an article on something about how much in the media we read about food being a reward.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like, reward yourself. Here's a huge ice cream. Reward yourself. You know, here's like a jumbo bag of whatever. And those messages, they go deep. And as a child, you believe that that's what you need. And then when the parent responds like that, by giving you a reward, if you're having a tantrum, oh, it's okay, have some chocolate. They're the sorts of people that come and see me.
Course. And you know, I suppose, you know, again, it's something we say all the time, because we don't have this emotional intelligence. If only we were better able to support children in accepting a wide range of emotions, rather than just want to bury it instantly. Just actually, we can accept, okay, this is not a very nice feeling I've got here. Let's have a look at what it is.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, just desperately trying to get away from it quickly, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, when someone is, you know, when they've looked at the root of stuff, when they're feeling more balanced, when things are on track. How much, you know, crap food, for want of a better word, can we tolerate? You know, can we still tolerate, in your opinion, some sugar, some stuff that we know isn't good for us?
Absolutely. So there's a big place for food that, you know, you can describe it as crap. I just describe it as food. You know, there's a place for all kinds of food if it doesn't affect us negatively. So. If you're going to have a, you know, let's just say, you know, a packet of biscuits, right? Some people can't just have one biscuit. So let's just say they have three or four or five biscuits and it has no effect negatively. What's wrong with that? My answer would be nothing. If, however, they're then crazy in their mood, they can't sleep very well, they then need something else an hour later that's of an equal kind of process nature, or they then need coffee because they're buzzing and they need to continue buzzing, it's not a good idea. If it doesn't affect you and you're fully in touch with how you feel and you've got a massive balance of all the healthy stuff as well, and you really enjoy it, it's okay, because it's about the healthy relationship with food. It's not about whether the food itself is healthy. Are you healthy when you eat that food?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, exactly. You're the emotional picture as well, because you're right. You know, even if there isn't a physical outworking that you notice, as it were, if actually it leaves you feeling that you hate yourself, that's not good either, right? If you're beating yourself up by saying, why did I even do that? So, and it's that thing, isn't it, where people start going, I'm so useless and I'm so weak-willed and I'm the, you know, and then we're back into another negative spiral about what we're doing wrong, in inverted commas.
Exactly.
So what would you say then are some practical things that people can do to start to change their relationship with their bodies? Because of course this all tracks back to the fact that so many of us have this terrible relationship with our own body. I remember reading an article once where women wrote letters to their bodies. Mm-hmm. It was in the newspaper. I don't know if you ever saw it. I wish I'd kept it. It was heartbreaking, actually. Mm-hmm. One after the other, these women writing, just saying these terrible things about their bodies. Oh, and this is too fat and that's too thin and I can't believe how that sticks out. And there was only one woman who had one tiny bit in there that said, you know, and actually, I'd just like to say thank you so much to my tummy because it enabled me to have my lovely baby or something. You know, there was kind of one piece of positivity in there, but the rest of it was just, it was a bit heartbreaking.
It really is. I do this exercise often with my clients about self-appreciation, you know, and taking each part of your body and really appreciating it, loving it, and recognizing what it does for you, and then also the parts that you don't love, understanding why not. You know, where did that come from? Who's telling you that they're not good enough, these parts of yourself? Is that you, or is that other messages that have come from somewhere else saying, oh, this is too big and that's too that? And, you know, and it's kind of about fading those voices out, really, and just coming straight back to the point that this vessel that you live in is the most important part of your life, really, because without it, you wouldn't have a life. Mm-hmm. And it is massively important to show gratitude and appreciation, even if you don't like the shape or even if you don't like the size. You can still love it, because if you had a child who had something that you didn't like, you'd still love them.
Well, absolutely. We're so much kinder to other people. I mean, most of us, if we think of someone else that we love, you know, actually, if you did it scientifically, there's probably bits of them that aren't perfect either. But we don't see that or care, because we love them for the whole of who they are. Mm. So we are so incredibly critical of ourselves. I think it really holds people back. And I think, unfortunately, I think perhaps it is made worse. I know I sound like, you know, my old maiden aunt, but it is made worse by social media and the pressures on people to look a certain way. Would you agree?
Definitely. And it's very, very sad at the moment, because children teenagers, they're very exposed to social media, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok. You know, they're all very much about image because it's all an image-based sort of app. And what they're looking at is quite disturbing as well, you know, because so much of it isn't real. We know what can be manipulated with different apps and Photoshop and this, that, and the other, but they don't. So they look at that and they go, I don't look like that. What's wrong with me? These sorts of, you know, industries are important to educate young teens that they're not real.
So what would be your tips then that someone can do to actually get started on changing this relationship, but without dieting? If they feel they are overweight, you know, let's be realistic. There'll be some people listening to this who are thinking, well, that's all very well for you, mm-hmm. you know, Jules, because you're beautiful and mm-hmm. skinny and I'm not, you know. Mm-hmm. So where can they start?
So firstly, it's really about getting in touch with your why. So what is the why of weight?
Yeah.
What's the reason that is going to drive you that's powerful enough to want to change your weight? Because just wanting to fit into a bikini on the beach is not, what in my experience of working with different people, enough that's going to get them to do what they need to do. They really need an empowering why. So my first tip would be get in touch with your reason for wanting to change.
Yeah.
Now, surprisingly, sometimes health isn't even a big enough reason, because you have a lack of self-love. You don't actually, sometimes people don't actually really even care whether they're going to become diabetic or obese because they don't love themselves. And that's really, really sad. And so my kind of second piece of advice really would be to focus very much not on the weight, but on you loving yourself. And how you do that, there's many different ways.
Yeah.
Many, many different ways. To where you focus is where your energy goes. So if you're focusing on weight being a problem, you're taking energy away from coming inward and going, aren't I an incredible human being on this planet? You know, you're drawing the energy in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's really true. I had a client not long ago who was able to get to the point where she recognized that health wasn't a big enough motivator. So we were having a conversation around choosing not to drink. Mm-hmm. She got the piece about, you know, that as we get older, you know, for women and alcohol and the menopause are really not very happy together. I mean, it's not, you know, it's obviously not good for anything, but she already kind of managed to kind of knew the logic. She got that piece logically, but her own health, she recognized was not enough motivation.
Absolutely.
It was really interesting, and it was very interesting, because in that moment we could see quite clearly, exactly as you just said, what's really going on there is a lack of self-love and self-esteem. So there's almost a sort of a sabotage going on. Well, what does it matter anyway?
Exactly. There is all of that. What I would encourage people who have that, who are resonating with that point, that health is not enough, is to ask themselves, well, who in their lives does their bad health affect that they do love more than they love themselves? So that could be their partners, their spouse, their children, their parents. Who in their life is this going to affect? Because if you become unwell, it's going to impact all these people that need to care for you, look after you emotionally.
Yeah.
Put their energy in. And if that is more of a driver, then that's the driver.
Yeah, really good point. We do on my sober coach training, we talk sometimes about sort of personality types and how some people are sort of people pleasers and obligers. And actually, when those people need to or choose to stop drinking, it almost works best for them if they recognize that their relationship with others will be better if they do. But it can work the other way, of course. It can be very difficult because, you know, certainly when it comes to alcohol, there is that awful, thing of, oh, well, you know, that they won't think I'm any fun if I'm not drinking with them. And actually, it's similar with food, isn't it? We've all had the experience of going out with people who say, oh, well, I can't have a dessert if you're not having a dessert.
Yeah.
What's that about?
What's it about? Yeah, it's about many things.
Exactly.
It's really about many things, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the books that you've co-authored, Jules.
So one of the books was on confidence, and my part in that was all about how having confidence comes onto what you just said, having confidence in your choices, regardless of what other people around you are doing, is so empowering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Recognizing that it doesn't actually matter what other people are doing, you know, that level of confidence that you can say, no, this is right for me, regardless of what you think of me or how it's going to affect our evening together or our relationship, is an amazing place to be. So my part in that book was all about confidence in relation to making healthy choices.
Lovely.
And like I said from the beginning, growing up kind of in that environment where I lived in Italy for a couple of years, and the Italians, like, have some more wine. I said, I haven't even had one glass yet. What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with you. I don't drink. You know, it's like just having that confidence to go, it's not what I do, you know. It's not me.
Yeah, love it. And tell us where we can find more details about your the work that you do and the coaching. And
So I've got a weekly newsletter that goes out, which is full of, you know, informative things. That would be something you could join, which is julesfrancis.com/newsletter.
Okay, I'll put that in the show notes.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've got, you know, a 20 to 40 minute exploratory call that I can have with anybody that wants to really see what's going on for them. And we leave that call with a bit of a path as to how you can move forward. And if you want to work with me, we can explore what that looks like, or I could point you in a different direction. So I could add a link to my diary for that. And currently I've got the Food Breakthrough Academy, which is an online course, which is all about the mindset around food. And there's a February offer on at the moment, so I could send you a link for that. And okay. Anybody that's listening to this, if you check in and it's after the February offer, just get in touch and tell me.
Won't be going out in February.
the offer won't go away if we're in March. It's okay. But cool. Yeah, the Food Breakthrough Academy very much works with people's mindset around food. And we do weekly calls, and then everyone helps each other, hold each other accountable and things. And it's all very much about habits and cravings and you know, emotional eating, disordered eating, that sort of thing.
Brilliant. Jules, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Jules. So if you go over to thesoberclub.com and check out if you're interested in joining us, we'll make sure that we have all the show notes available for Jules and the work that she does. If you're interested in her programs, obviously bear in mind that some of it might be time related, but we wanted to make this offer to you anyway. And you know where to find me if you want to stay connected. It's such a good idea if you're doing this, if you're doing any of these things, just stay connected with like-minded people. So you can find me on social media at Janie Lee Grace, and you can always find me via thesoberclub.com. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.